Hello folks, I'm John Myrie and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show we have reports and tips for you from Ken Melender down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we talk late fall fishing and hunting with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen. And lastly, some late fall walleye tips from pro angler Al Linder. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Find your perfect Can-Am ATV or side-by-side at Hayward Power Sports. The all-new 2023 Can-Am Outlander ATVs were redesigned with the rider in mind for unmatched fun and value. Hit the woods or trails with models starting at $5,999. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of a $500 rebate or 2.99% financing on select models. Looking for a side-by-side? The Can-Am Defender is the perfect utility side-by-side that's extra tough on the worksite, the ranch, or wherever you need to get the job done. Feel the adrenaline surge in the high-performance Can-Am Maverick, or get the best of work and play with the ultimate crossover, the Can-Am Commander. Claim the side-by-sides that fit your needs today and enjoy financing as low as 1.99% for 36 months on select models. Make every hunt a success, every trail ride an excitement-filled adventure, and make light work of your heavy-duty jobs, all with a brand-new Can-Am off-road vehicle from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Offer subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu, and while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're talking to Ken down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and Ken, you know, there's still guys out there, and there's going to be guys out there all the way through, especially the musky guys when it comes to fishing.
Yeah, well, actually, we're seeing quite a few walleye guys, you know, out there, too.
You know, it surprises me, but the walleyes are biting just as good as the muskies are, actually.
Yeah, the walleyes are starting to school up, you know, follow the bait. You know, some of the lakes are in, like, 31 feet. Some of them are in 25 right now.
You know, are you hearing what for bait on them?
Walleye suckers, still probably the best right now.
Also, I know there's more guys that are starting to troll, too. Trolling things like lead core and other things to get baits down there.
Yep, you can cover a lot of water, especially, you know, you just run the contours of your Lake Master chip and, you know, cover that depth and, you know, because the fish are still moving around pretty good.
You know, it's something we didn't have here until they passed some of the trolling laws, but over, I know you grew up in Minnesota, and over there, trolling lead core is a big deal in the fall, it seems like.
Yeah, on the Lake of the Woods, boy, once them downriggers and everything, you know, broke loose out in the market, a lot of big walleyes were caught on Lake of the Woods.
You bet. And I know some of my friends over in Minnesota are big with the lead core line, and that's another way of, that's simple way, actually, of getting bait down there.
Yep. Actually, most popular, I think, is the 17-pound lead core.
The only thing I don't like about lead core is you're dragging all the weight of that line in, so it kind of takes part of the fun out of the fight of the fish, it seems like.
Yeah, I definitely look at getting the right appropriate rod weight for, you know, the extra weight.
And, you know, as far as other fishing out there, I know the panfishing is actually pretty good. Not a lot of guys out there, but this is a good time going after the panfish, crappies especially.
Crappies have been really good on deeper structure, you know, next to a steep break along shore somewhere.
You bet. And you don't need minnows. They can just, a lot of the, like Berkeley Gulp Alive, Gulp minnows, any of the good plastics also seem to work good this time of year for them.
There's a couple guys are using 2-2.5 inch plastics, but they're catching, you know, the bigger ones out of the school.
It seems to me that, too, the Gulp minnows, everybody wants to use the 1-inch minnows, and I use them a lot. But if I go to the 2-inch minnows, I catch bigger crappies, it seems like.
Yeah, I think what happens is you kind of turn the school on, too, you know, getting a bigger bait, especially on the dirtier water.
You know, and I know there's some other baits out there besides the Gulp, too, that seem to work good that have a scent built into them. As far as other fishing out there, are you hearing anything on northern pike? Because that usually gets pretty good late in the fall, too.
Spinner baits and rattle traps, you know, up on, you know, the green weeds seem to really do really good. And then crankbaits that dive anywhere from 12 to 14 feet are working good, too.
And I know our water temperature is really getting down there into the mid-50s right now. And I don't really, as we're recording this, you had any reports of anything going on as far as turnover in any place?
I heard some of the lakes have started. So, you know, I don't know the specifics, but you would think the smaller lakes and then going into the bigger lakes, they're in that transition right now.
What do you look for to tell you whether they're in turnover other than dropping a temperature probe down?
Well, temp is a big thing, but you can see the sediment in the water. You know, you could go to a mouth of a slop bay and you can actually smell the difference of the air. And you know, it's kind of like decaying matter. You know that it's happening there and it gradually starts in the shallow and works out to the deep water basin. But mainly it's the temp gauge. You can run the temp gauge on the mouth of a shallow bay, move it on the main lake. If there's more than 5 degrees difference, then you know it's not happened on the main lake.
But, well, you know, and a lot of times you'll see dead weeds floating up. And there's a lot of indicators just looking at the color of the water. And if you get out there and you got a fish on that lake, my recommendation is go find the greenest weed you can shallow and fish it. Otherwise, go to another lake.
Yeah, coontail is a really good weed, you know, even after turnover, because it's a plant that produces a lot of oxygen, and it grows on a deeper water basin, anywhere from 23 feet to, you know, 15.
You bet. And, you know, we forgot about bass fishing, too. I know you do a lot of bass tournament fishing, and it's actually a good time to go out and catch some of your bigger bass, just like bigger muskies.
Before turnover, they go on feed. So reaction baits, even this simple spinner baits and rattle traps. After that, after the turnover, they'll be on the deepest, greenest weeds on the steepest break, you know, off from a point or a hump. And usually they'll be schooled up there. Try to look for the sandfish or the sunfish that are suspended on top of the weeds, and the bass are really close.
Well, a lot of good information there. I know we're in the hunting seasons right now, and, you know, some big changes out there this year when it comes to archery deer season, the no beating and no feeding ban. But are you hearing anybody doing any good out there hunting right now?
Not so much right now. I think a lot of the hunters are waiting for the bucks to start laying down their trap lines, and it should be a good year for those guys that, you know, want to sit for those 10 days during the rut.
Seems like they've got some pretty good antler growth this year, too, from what I'm hearing and seeing.
I've had a lot of customers show me some pretty good pictures, and I'm a little surprised of the lack of rain we had this spring. But apparently, they had the right nutrients, you know, to gain some good antler growth this year.
And I know down here at the shop, you guys are pretty well equipped. You got everything that they might need for the fall fishing, and you've got a good supply of archery stuff and deer hunting stuff and stuff for hunting seasons.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea to carry a few extra arrows around.
You bet. You know, let's talk about one thing, too. We're not that far away from the ice fishing season right now. I'm not terribly looking forward to going from the boat to a snowmobile yet, but we're not too far away from that. You guys are going to be starting to set up stuff for the ice fishing here, and there's a bunch of new products out there for that, I suppose, this year.
Yeah, I was looking on the Outlook, just trying to see what this winter is going to be like, and it seems like we're going to get an Arctic blast, but most of the snowfall is going to be way out east. They say it could be record snowfall out in Boston, New Jersey area. So I hope that's, you know, that could be good for us. So this year we could make up for ice conditions last year.
Well, snow is good, but it's the 8-foot snowbanks like I had last year. I was running out of places to put it.
Yeah, it was pretty hard on the whole environment up here. I'm surprised that I didn't lose more trees in the yard because they were bent right to the ground.
You bet. Well, you guys are going to be all geared up for that. You'll have a bunch of new gear and equipment out here and all that stuff on display here pretty shortly, I suspect.
Yep, some of the manufacturers are offering promotions. You know, for instance, if you get a Strike Master auger, we'll get a free blades, and, you know, some of them are offering free batteries, and, you know, so there's some good opportunities for some good buys for this winter.
Well, Ken, I really appreciate it, and thank you for taking the time coming on here with our listeners.
All right, thank you, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking fall hunting and fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area. Stop in and check out the huge selection of fall muskie, bass, walleye, and panfish tackle. They also have a great selection of ammunition, scents, hunting supplies, and much more. Gear up for the fall at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And while you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Get the deal of a lifetime on a new Lund from Hayward Power Sports. Truth is, our 2023s arrived late and we missed out on early season sales. So we have a huge inventory of them, but desperately need to make room for the 2024s. It's the perfect storm for incredible deals. From the entry-level Lund Adventure to the awesome Lund Impact XS and everything in between. They're all rigged with Mercury outboards and offered at blowout prices. Get your new Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, when it comes to fall in the outdoors up here, lots of things to do. And on this week's show, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen about both fall hunting and fall fishing. Kyle, good to have you on the show here again.
Thanks for having me on, John.
You know, we could talk about fishing, and we may a little bit later, but let's talk about hunting. I know a lot of people are gearing up for the fall hunting seasons, and which are well underway now, and there's going to be some major changes this year. I mean, people that were out there baiting or feeding deer, and the patterns of deer were starting to move up until the first part of October are going to change radically, aren't they?
Yeah, that's going to be a big change, and I think it may be for the better. I think that it's going to actually maybe help us kill a few more big bucks.
Well, you know, it'll go back to more of the natural type of movement and, you know, hunting basically the food sources, the bedding areas, and, you know, we find out where all that stuff is back to the old way.
Exactly. And one thing that I'm focusing on, I've got a couple areas I've been scouting, is hunting some funnels near tamarack swamps and just kind of hunting fringes, things like that, and using natural, you know, whether it's topography or, you know, different types of woods, thick cover, stuff like that, and doing a lot of trail camera work.
Well, you know, and you have to kind of set yourself up for multiple places too, because you know, the wind is not always going to be in your favor on any particular spot that you might pick.
Exactly. And that's something that I think people who maybe are more accustomed to sitting on a corn pile might have to learn a little bit more, is how to play the wind and set up according to that.
Bucks are a whole different animal than does. Does seem to be more people friendly than bucks. And even you know, when I was feeding deer and stuff, I noticed that the bucks were not coming in with the does, except during the peak of the rut. But you know, the bucks travel separately, and they're a lot more cautious and wary, it seems like, than the does are. Older does, maybe the real old does, but, you know, in general.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely setting up for a mature buck, especially in the big woods up here in the Hayward area. It's a different animal, like you said, John.
Food source is a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And this year we've had so many acorns that it really is, there's a great opportunity hunting oak ridges right now, and there's a lot better chance of finding deer feeding on acorns during daylight, it seems like, versus hitting corn piles during daylight.
What kind of tips can you give guys as far as, you know, finding a place and what to look for? I mean, we talked a little bit about some of that stuff already, but you know, where do they start?
Well, I would say the public land around here is your greatest asset. There's just so much public land available. And get on something like Onyx and look for a big chunk of public land and go do some walking and scout something out and just find a deer trail or try to find some really good thick cover near one of those oak ridges.
You know, and just finding the deer sign, get out and look for them and travel routes. And if you can find an area, like I know a couple of places up north of here where you've got some swamps and you got like swamps all chained together one after another with maybe a
a funnel or a kind of like almost a beaver dam across them. If you can find that crossover point, a lot of times there'll be a good trail on that.
Exactly. That's a great point, John.
And I know the archery season is underway now. You're starting to see, I know you've been out doing a little bit of hunting too, but you're hearing or seeing any sign the bucks are starting to move a little bit more?
I think with this recent cold snap, it's really kicked them into gear. And I think we're going to see it more and more as they start cruising and establishing some scrape lines and things like that in the pre-rut type phase.
Well, you know, there, a lot of guys get out there and hunt, and I think we've got good numbers of deer out there this year. But, you know, if you were planning on hunting and baiting them, that's changed a lot, and you're going to have to adapt real quick. And it's going to take some legwork and some time out there in the woods to figure out where these deer are moving to, because, you know, I'm already seeing in the areas that I live in, I'm not seeing the deer there that I've seen before wandering around close to the houses. They're probably went out in the woods out there someplace.
Yep, but I think they're still around, and there's definitely some great opportunities still. I'm really excited now.
You know, let's a little bit talk about some other fall stuff too. I know it's not just the deer hunting, but we've got other hunting going on, and you know, small game and stuff. And I don't know what the grouse populations are out there. It seems spotty yet in places.
Yeah, you know, I think there's some really good grouse hunting when you get into them, but there's a lot of open woods in between them. But we're starting to get into the woodcock migration. We actually did pretty good the other day on woodcocks. And that's a lot of fun. They're really a trick to shoot at, but they're a lot of fun.
And they're great with the pointing dogs, too, because they hold the cover a lot better than the grouse do anymore, it seems like.
Yeah, they really do. And especially, as you know, John, I'm hunting with a young pointing dog, and those woodcocks have been a great training tool.
You bet. And and the dogs pick up the scent on them real quick, too, I think quicker than they do on a grouse, even.
Right.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring the show to you every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech. And we'll even mount it and bore sight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward. Or give us a call at 715-634-8700. Hey folks, the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach on Highway K between the Big Lakes has groceries, ice, beer, liquor, and pop, and now has all new tackle and bait supplies. All the current antiques and household items are now on sale and all must go to make room for the sports shop. That's at the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach between the Big Lakes.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen.
Let's talk a little bit about fall fishing, too. I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys out there, including yourself and me. We want to get out and spend some more time fishing, and this is actually one of the better times to be out there, especially if you're after a really good muskie.
Yeah, I know October is definitely my favorite month to target a big muskie, and even into November when a few people start focusing on deer hunting, it's still great to get out and target some of the biggest muskies you're going to see all year. They're definitely putting on the fall weight.
Well, I know that my personal biggest fish years ago came in the middle of a 6-inch snowstorm. So, you know, we were watching the lake freeze around us almost. It was really late, but you know, there's a big change too once that water gets down, and it's dropping really fast right now. But once we get down into the 40s, you know, these fish don't really want to come up in that top layer of water real quick, that seems like.
No, they definitely don't, John. But, you know, as we're going through turnover, there's going to be a lot of changes, and live bait really becomes a big player, right, John?
You bet. Well, you know, and the other thing, too, and I've said this on the other radio shows, too, is that if for some reason I've found, you know, right in the middle of turnover, if you're forced to fish a lake and that's where you're at, and the lake is turned over, the water's kind of skunky looking, and, you know, it just, you know, actually got floating weeds and stuff. If you can find a really good green weed beds and inside turns in those weed beds, chances are the fish are going to be in there because they'll actually get up in those shallower green weeds.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a great shallow bite, and you can use your electronics to see the weeds that are still standing up, but better yet, just drive over, and if the water's clear enough, you can usually see them, and drop a waypoint, and those are all great spots to target this time of year.
Any type of weeds are good, but I think if you can find a green milfoil patch or a green patch of coontail, that's even better, I think.
Yeah, you're spot on there.
You know, let's talk about once they move a little bit deeper, though. You know, once we get past that turnover, there'll be a lot of fish that'll be on that deeper break line, it seems like, and especially on inside turns, really sharp dropping shorelines, if you can find inside turns. But the big key is going to be the bait fish. Where the bait is where the fish are going to be.
Exactly. And there's, you know, a lot of things coming up that are going to congregate bait fish, whether it's the Cisco spawn, or if it's deep cribs. But like you said, sharp breaks and access to deep water is huge this time of year.
You know, and like deep diving crankbaits, what are your favorite baits? I know you throw a lot of crankbaits.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Livingston lure stuff. I like the Squeaky Pete. You know, any of those flat-sided Jake-style, grandma-style crankbaits are what I really like.
You know, I'm a fan of the Livingston stuff, too, and I've had, and especially in the real Clearwater lakes, I've had really good luck on one particular bait I really like is that Rachel crankbait. It gets down there a few feet, but it kind of, if you kind of twitch it and jerk it, it kind of suspends, and there's more than one in bait out there that does that, too, and it'll actually kind of sit there and not go up or down too much, and I think that triggers a strike quicker, too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another great one.
You know, and as far as jig fishing, you know, that's an underutilized aspect of muskies. I mean, we've had guys using fuzzy dozens and stuff for years, but there's a lot of baits out there that if you can find fish in those pocket areas or if they're around some deeper cribs, that you can actually jig fish for them. Literally, you can even use your sonar to pinpoint the fish, but jig presentation, a jig-type presentation, can be one of the more effective things sometimes.
Yeah, whether it's a Bondi bait or a Red October tube, you know, they're definitely effective. And like you said, it's not always utilized, but sometimes when you get sick of casting on those cool fall days, ripping a Bondi bait can be your best friend.
It's easier, too, when your guides are, if it's cold enough, your guides are freezing up. You have a lot less problems at trying to cast and get nice in your reel and everything else.
Exactly. And a lot of times, one tip I can give anyway is jig about halfway down in most of these scenarios. I always want to make sure I'm above the fish when I'm jigging. They're not afraid to come up 6-8 feet, so definitely stay above them when you're jigging big baits like that.
As far as the presentation jigging, do you find that that you want to follow that bait back down more rather than let it free fall? Because I've had a problem with some of those baits tangling when you try to let them free fall. But if you follow it back down with your rod tip, you have a lot less fouling in the baits that going down.
Yeah, great point. And especially as it gets cooler, I think controlling that fall and making it a slow, gradual fall actually appeals to the fish as well.
Well, you know, it's not just the muskies for the fall, too. If somebody else wants to get out there and do some fishing, there's some pretty good walleye fishing out there. Or there's some good pan fishing. Everything is good, including some really nice smallmouth bass.
Yeah, it really is a struggle this time of year trying to decide what to do because everything is going at once.
Yeah, it's been said more than once. So much to do in so little time, right?
That's right.
Well, Kyle, a lot of great information there from you. And, you know, if anybody is looking for a guide trip with you, how do they get a hold of you and or follow you on your website and stuff?
Yeah. So you can get a hold of me calling my cell, 715-558-8911. Otherwise, my website is SorensenOutdoors.com.
Well, Kyle, I appreciate you taking the time here with our listeners, and hopefully we can get out there and catch a few big muskies and maybe a few other fish as well.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, Kyle. Well, folks, you know, as we wrap up the show for this week, we've got some great late fall walleye tips for you from well-known pro angler Al Lindner.
Well, Al, you know, we're into the fall period right now, and what can you think of that would be some of the common mistakes that many anglers would make out there when they're looking for the walleyes once you get past the turnover?
Well, one thing from my experience is a lot of anglers don't fish deep enough in a lot of cases. When these lakes turn over, especially if there's a deep water forage base or even perch, which will graze these big flats, these hard bottom deep water transition areas, let me use an example. Let's say that the lake, the deepest basin is 35 feet. Structures that lead to that 35-foot basin that have hard bottom are areas that I would concentrate on. In a lot of cases, that hard bottom, soft bottom transition could be 27 feet, 25, 31, areas like this. And learning to watch your depth finder and concentrating on those hard to soft bottoms have really produced a lot of big fish for me in fall and are areas that a lot of guys just don't spend a lot of time on. The other extreme to that is that could be a daytime bite and you're fishing. You might be vertical jigging or live bait rigging these hard bottom, soft bottom areas. And yet at night, there's a bunch of fish that you can have a flat line trolling, particularly during moon phases where you can get up in shallow water and flat line troll or move your trolling motor and a cast minnow bait, so like a rapel, and actually fan cast off to the side over a weed flats that are anywhere from 4 to 8 foot deep. So in a given day to low light conditions throughout the night, you can have shallow water fish on that same body of water. You can have great fishing in very, very deep water, and these are two different groups of fish. That's the point. These fish are not migrating from those deep water basins and migrating into 4 feet of water at night. These are two different groups of fish doing two different things.
Al, you know, when we're talking about fishing deep water, that's something that a lot of anglers tend to shy away from. Saying that, you know, it's hard to feel a bite, it's hard to get your bait where you know what your bait's doing. Got any tips for them on maybe some things that might help them to be able to fish that deep water a little more effectively?
Well, it happens to be, John, one of my favorite ways to fish. I like deep water jigging, and I live in an area where we have a lot of lakes where I could do that type of fishing. But one thing that I've seen a lot of anglers just seem to shy away from is not fishing a heavy enough jig. There's so much emphasis that we hear, even in pro walleye circles, where the tendency is to always fish the lightest jig you can get away with. Well, that thinking sometimes when you're fishing 35 foot deep with a 35 mile an hour blowout in the northwest, which could happen at this time of the year, and you're fishing a 4-inch minnow, and trying to get it down in deep water, that means that the lightest jig you can get away with in a lot of cases is a minimum of a half ounce, sometimes even heavier than that on 10-pound test line. So, I mean, you have to compensate. The point is to try to stay as vertical as you can and make sure you are always feeling bottom. And I'm an advocate of fishing pretty heavy jigs, more than most walleye anglers when I'm in deep water. I like a heavy jig with a big minnow.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNOradio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site. And the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me. I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.